This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Biblical Christian Living Part 3, was delivered on February 9th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
To be, and we just give you all the praise and glory in your Son's precious, mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James and Jennifer. Go ahead, ushers. Well, good morning, everyone. Are you guys fresh? Yes? I think I went down at like 7:30 last night, man. We were cutting trees yesterday, and there were some points I was like, and I think the guys thought I was praying, but I was hurting. But I actually was praying. I said, help! You know, so this is my plan was, I was going to work in the container and wire and do some lighting in there. And that was my plan. And then Al came along. He helped me. We got it done so fast that we had to go and haul trees. And according to my Fitbit yesterday, I went over 20,000 steps. Whew. That was pretty amazing what we could accomplish when we worked together. Now, when we meet here in the morning, we can see the sunrise, and it's so beautiful. And the principal of the school came by, and he just said, wow, that was good enough for me. But well, it was a great day. We got some exercise, which was much needed. And James, you are in shape, because the last time I checked, we are the same shape, round. We're in shape. Amen? Yeah. It's so good. It's something about working together with brothers and sisters in Christ that it makes it so much fun. Even if it was hard work, just hauling branches back and forth, it was enjoyable because we had great company and we were just having a blast. Well, I don't know about you, but I was having a blast, even though it was painful, but it was great. Amen. Well, it's good to have all of you here this morning. We're going to be in part three of our series of biblical Christian living, and we're still doing the one another's of the Bible. And you know, today's one is going to be talking more about love because, man, we're coming up on Valentine's Day, guys. It's this Friday, okay, guys? Okay, guys. I know the spouses are the wives are elbowing their husbands, but John and Amy, 35 years. Woo! Okay, so who else anniversary is on Friday? Who else? Yeah, mine. Well, we only got, you know, four romantic people in this church. Huh? Come on, that really just us four, us two. Well. Okay, but 35 years, that's so awesome. We look to you guys and say, like, wow, that's how to stay married for 35 years. Just see how they treat each other with such love. They love one another like we are commanded to, amen? Well, I think Friday is going to be my 29th anniversary. Yeah, so give my wife a hand because she put up with me for 29 years. How did she do that? She prays and she reads the Bible. That's how she did that. Because if she was to do that on her own, I don't think so. She needs God. Yeah. So we're continuing to look at the Bible, the Word of God, which tells us how to live, the right way and the wrong way to live, the right things, the wrong things to do, the right beliefs, the wrong beliefs, the right way to behave, the wrong way to behave. And, you know, we read, and just the other day we were reading in Acts, and we were reading about the Bereans. You remember the Bereans in the Bible? Those are the guys who when they received the message that was taught to them, They said, okay, that's a good message. Let me go check this out. Check with the word. See if this is actually true. Because there were many false teachers back then. There is many false teachers now. And if I told you that God helps those who help themselves, and you try to look for it in the Bible, guess what? It's not there. But some people say that, right? God helps those who help themselves. Like, not in the Bible, not according to my word. So we need to examine the word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, I love this scripture because it says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's written by men, but inspired by God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Somebody say amen. Amen. God wants each of us to help one another remain faithful. Now, when God says that he wants us to help one another remain faithful, what does it mean? Because we can say it, but, you know, how do we help one another remain faithful? You know, if you don't see your brother and sister who normally sits next to you, what do you do? Hey, I miss you. Call them up. How are you doing? What's happening? Pray for them. Encourage them. You know, he wants us to help each other, help one another, be faithful to serve him to the best of our abilities. You know, so yesterday we started off at men's ministry, then we started working. James, Makana, they went to work. They had jobs to do. And they came back. They came back. They could have just gone home, said, I've done my share. But they came back. And they work some more. And they kind of, when we seen those fresh legs come back, we were so encouraged, man. We had just, it was just like we just fed off their energy. It was like, yes, fresh legs. Oh, we got up and said, like, yes, we can do this. And it was so encouraging. Thank you guys for coming back, even after your regular jobs. Man, it was like, wow. Because, I mean, how many of you, if you got here at 5:30, ate breakfast, did worship, did some work, went to work, how many of you would have just like, hey, you know what? I did my shit. I'm going home to sleep. Right? But they chose to come back. Thank you so much. You know, so we examine these one another's in the New Testament. And the goal is to guide us into biblical living with one another. So today we're going to talk about love. You know, what a great subject, because we're coming up on Valentine's Day, and it's a day that the florist makes a lot of money. Yeah? But it's a day that we celebrate love. I mean, we send chocolates to one another, and we send flowers, we send greeting cards. And we tell, I think every day, though, we should be acknowledging our love for one another. Amen? Not just once a year on February 14th, but every day. How many of you tell your spouse every day you love them? I tell my wife every morning, you know, after I brush my teeth and my lips are still wet and it's cold, I give her a kiss. She goes, oh, cold! Just to get her up, because sometimes she's still sleeping, and I just like to. I'm just a rascal at heart. Yeah, get her up. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about the love one another, and there's so much that I'm not going to cover them all, but I'm going to give you the scriptures so that you can be like the Bereans and look at the love one another in the context of where it is written. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. And there's a couple of things I'd like to cover as we, because we cannot really, is, well, you can try, but it's hard to pray for somebody without loving them unless you're like praying, oh, I hope that speeding guy gets a ticket, right? That's not the right kind of prayer. But how many of you pray that sometimes when you're driving and you see that car, phew, whoa, go so fast that your hair went forward? Yeah? And it's like, oh, I pray that you get one ticket. You know, and because you can pray that kind of prayer because there's no love. But I put this under love because when we love one another, we pray for one another. How many of you have children? Yeah. Like Lynn, I bet you love Brenton so much that you pray so much for him because Brenton is in pilot school and he's learning how to fly a plane. If that doesn't make a mother pray so hard, I don't know what will. So when we love one another, we will pray for one another. And it's so hard that to pray for somebody when you do not love them. So if you have somebody in your life that you don't love or you have a hard time loving, may I suggest you start trying to pray for them and not bad things, okay? Like, pray good things for them, health and blessings, not the, like, oh, I hope you know what I mean, right? I don't have to go there, right? And it says, in this verse, it says, confess to one another. It doesn't say confess your spouse's sin, okay? You know what I mean? Some people come up to me and tell, Pastor, you know, my spouse or my husband, he drinks too much. Can you do something for him? And it doesn't say confess your spouse's sin. It says confess your sins to one another. So confess your sins to one another is a spiritual truth to be used and not abused. It's a spiritual truth to be applied, not misapplied. It's a spiritual truth to be rightly taught and not wrongly taught. So we confess so that we can help each other grow. We confess to one another, not so we can gossip, okay? Because sometimes when somebody tells us to pray for them, we kind of can use that to gossip or like, you know, talk bad about them. This passage does not say confess your forms to a robed priest. This does not say confess to an elder, but you can. Does not say confess to a deacon, but you can. Does not say confess to a minister, but you can. Does not say confess to an evangelist, but you can. Does not say confess to a teacher, but you can. Confessing our sins, such as like resentment, or maybe you have a grudge, or you lack forgiveness. When you confess those things, it can often lead to healing. And healing of physical ailments, because stress is brought about by these sins. And Jesus Christ made it possible for us to go directly to God for forgiveness. But confessing to one another still is an important part in the life of the church. Now, if we have sinned against an individual, then we should ask for forgiveness. If our sin has affected the church, we must confess. If we need loving support as we struggle with the sin, it would help if we confess, because when we do that, it can help us be accountable. Like if I confess to you, like, man, I have a problem driving. You guys know I have a problem driving, right? But if I was to put you in the car with me, gosh, I would be so much nicer than by myself. Maybe I just need to remember and put a picture of Jesus right next to me, looking at me with his finger like, oh. Yeah, but yeah, you know what I mean? When we confess, it helps us. It helps us to get support we need. If when we confess and yet we still don't feel like we have been forgiven, maybe we need others to come alongside us to let us know that, hey, the Bible says that when you confess, You are forgiven. So let it go. Amen? Just let it go. You know, when we say pray for one another, prayer is powerful. It needs to always be our first thing we do, not our last resort. How many of you, when you come to a problem, we should have prayed first, but instead of praying first, we pray at the end when things don't work out. When you have your car all in pieces and you don't know how to put it back together, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And instead of like starting at the beginning and praying first, yeah, you guys get it? Or is it only me that does that? You know, we go fishing and the fish keep coming off the hook. And then we pray. But we learned that many times long ago, so now we always pray before we fish. But we need to pray for others. You know, on your bulletin, there's a tab that you can tear off. Did you know that you can write down your prayer request on top there? Drop it in that blue acrylic box, and our brother Mike will type it out for us. And I know as he's typing it out, he is praying for you. And then when he types it out and he sends it to me, I pray over it. And then I forward that to our pastors and our council members, and they pray for you. We need to pray for one another. It's our duty as Christians to pray for one another. The benefits of prayer helps the one who is praying and the one who is being prayed for. Amen? There are so much one another, the love one another's than any other one another in the Bible. Another one I like to cover is serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Because if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received a gift, a spiritual gift. Now, each one has a gift. Now, you cannot say you don't have a gift, because the Bible says each one received the gift. We've been learning that in our leadership class. Okay. So what is this gift for? Is it used for my personal gain? No, it's not. It says employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we have a gift. Each one has a gift. Like James, I know his gift is cooking. I love his gift. And he uses his gift well. Kahea has a gift of singing. She uses her gift well to just sing. Al has a gift of playing music. John has a gift of playing harmonica, and I am so glad they use their gift. Could you imagine trying to sing without music? That would be kind of hard, unless you're like really good at that, like that a cappella groups, you know, who can make their bum, 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 and bing, bing, bing. And I won't go there, but see, we use the gifts to serve one another. John Quee, he has a gift of financial things. That's why he's putting together this workshop for those of you who need help planning out your future. So that you, when you get to your later part in life, you're like, oh, I wish I had something, or I'd put away something, done something when I was younger so that I have something now. So that's his gift. And he's employing his gift to serve you. And he's putting on this workshop for you to help educate you to plan for your future. It's a gift to serving one another. You know, and our abilities should be faithfully used in serving one another. None are for our own exclusive enjoyment. And a lot of you may be aware of your abilities, some of you may not. But you have to discover your ability and use it to serve one another. Some of you think that I don't have a special gift or a talent. And we tell you what, if anybody should feel like that, it should be me. Because I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, I'm terrified of public speaking, believe it or not, I am. And it's like, what is it, Lord? And so every Sunday morning from midnight on, I am in my bed and I'm praying, Holy Spirit, I really, 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 really need you because I'm really, really nervous. And I do that every week for the last almost 12 years. I get up, and I'm like, oh, it's Sunday morning. Good night. I was like, holy smoke. I got to get up and speak. I tell you, when the Sundays that I do have a break, Saturday nights are so peaceful. Man, I can like, woohoo, yeah. It's like, my wife's like, I'm a different person because I'm not, it's like. So Peter addresses these groups in these verses. He's saying everyone has some gifts. The trick is find yours and use them. Amen. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Okay. You got to get the second part, though. Right here. Even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, to love one another was commandment way back in Leviticus. But to love another as much as Christ loved them, that was like, holy smoke. When you think about it, how much did Christ love you? Man, he went like this, and he had nails driven in him, hands and feet. That's how much he loved you. Now, in the way that he loved us, he said, you go love one another like that. Like, ouch, that hurts. We are to love one another based on Jesus' sacrificial love for us. When people see that kind of love that you have for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that kind of love will bring unbelievers to Christ. And it'll also keep us strong and united. We come here, we receive this love, this encouragement being built up every week. Why? So we can send you back there in that hostile world full of people cursing you and doing all kinds of nasty things so that you can love one another. We come here to get equipped only to get sent back out into that world to bring love to them. We are an example. Jesus was a living example of God's love, and we need to be that example of Jesus' love for us. Jesus says that our Christ-like love will show that we are his disciples. I mean, you people look at us and see, like, look at those Christians bickering. Look at those Christians being jealous. Look at that church divided. Or do they look at you as these guys have been with Jesus? They have great love for one another. Love, the love that they're talking about here is more than just that warm, fuzzy feeling, but it's an attitude and it is action. How can we love others like Jesus loved us? You know, we can do that like what we did yesterday, you know, when helping others out when it's not convenient. I mean, a lot of the guys who came out here, they work Monday through Friday. They gave up a Saturday, a beautiful, sunny Saturday And yeah, I know they said, oh, I could be poisoning my yard. I could be cutting my grass. I could be fishing. Am I out of my mind here working for free? Getting my body all sore, getting hit by branches and logs. That is love. That is love. By helping when it's not convenient, by giving when it hurts. It hurt yesterday. Really did. Devoting energy to others. Helping them. Absorbing hurts from others without complaining or fighting back. This kind of love is not easy. I think the only way we can give out this kind of love if we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when that's why people will notice when we share this kind of love, that we are empowered by the supernatural source. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that's like the love chapter. We read that at weddings. You see what love is and what love does. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says this, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. Okay? May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another, for all people, just as we do for you. So we are not also commanded to love all people. That means those guys out there who don't know God yet. If we are full of God's love, it should overflow into others. It's not enough to be kind and courteous, but we must actively and persistently show. I like the word show. Show love to them. Okay? We need to actively and persistently show love to one another. And you know of the ways that you can show love. And then the next one is be devoted to one another. Because if you love somebody, you will be devoted to him. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Because God calls us to real and genuine love. That goes beyond being polite. It takes effort, intentional effort. It means like we get to, because of our love, we get to help others become better. You know, like salt makes meat taste so much better, right? You ever ate a piece of steak without salt? You ever forget, you ever made a pot of chili and you forget to put salt? It's like, oh my God, what happened? Yeah, did that once, took it to a potluck, nobody ate it, like, wow. Then when I tasted it, like, oh, no wonder, I don't blame them. Yeah, okay. So when we go around people because of our love, it'll make them better. We'd season them up, we'd encourage them. Being devoted to one another in brotherly love, it demands time, it demands money, and it demands personal involvement. It does that. You need to be actively doing this thing, spending time with them, investing money in them, personal involvement. You know what it costs? Yeah, love is not cheap, but it's costly, but it's great. Amen. So there's a list of a whole bunch of one another's, you know, like a whole list. And there's a scripture in it. And like the Bereans, I'd ask you to go look up these scriptures. Look at it in the context of the writing, you know, in the whole chapter and see what it is. And then when you learn all these love one another's, don't just let it sit there. but let it come to your mind. Drop it down about 18 inches into your heart, okay? Because we don't want to miss love by 18 inches, right? Some of you taller guys might be 22 inches, right? But maybe because of my height, it's only 12. So only got to go a short distance from here to here. And then once it gets into your heart, let it come out of your hands in action. Because until then, it's just words on a paper. But when you put it in our minds, drop it into your heart, and come out of our hands, then it becomes actions. Okay, and the last one today is bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so as Christians, we cannot be totally independent. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be around each other. You need to be helping others. The body of Christ functions because we are all different and we work together in helping one another. We work together for the common good. You know, we need each other's help. We need to shoulder the weight of things. You know, is there someone in here who needs help, who needs encouragement? Sometimes they need correction. Sometimes it's hard to. Some of you have an easy time correcting others. Hey, what'd you say? Stop it right there. That's wrong. Some of us don't. This is the way I see it. When somebody needs correction and I really want to go correct them, I'm not the person to correct them because I just might unload. But if somebody needs correction and I don't want to correct them, then I'm the one who needs to go and correct them because I'll be gentle, right? You know, if your kids did something wrong and you really want to correct them, you just unload, yeah? And they feel beat up, I mean. But if then someone needs correction, they're like, I don't want to go. My Lord is going to put you on their heart that you need to go. Is there somebody sitting next to you who needs encouragement? I think we all need encouragement. Then gently reach out to them. Lift them up. Pray for them. Encourage them. Thank you, Mara, for this lay, because now I smell better. And I tell you what, the only thing can do is help me look better. So, hey, thank you for that encouragement. And she's learning how to sew lace. So, hey, it's like, good job. Maybe I can get one every week. Just kidding. So, we are to love and encourage one another as Christ loves us. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if any of you been here or new to here and you never accepted Jesus, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for telling us or teaching us that we are called to love one another just as you have loved us. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would help us to love one another like you love us. Give us the strength to love, even those who might be hard to love. But with your power, all things are possible, that we can love those who are not easy to love. Help us, Lord, in this task that you have called us to, that we love one another. And when people see that, they would be drawn to you. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank, give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to sing. So would you stand and join us?
What to say, Lord, it's...
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.